Chapter 5. 3 hours later, we finish up, after processing a few more loads, nowhere near breaking even on the damn armoire. I fix the system and the auto drive on the lift again, against its hoarse pleas to finally euthanize it, and we call it quits. Good night, Dougie. Sorry about getting docked again.
No worries. Worth it to see another one of your rockets. Good night, Paper. Say hello to Scissors, will you?
You bet. I walk the gravel path I've walked virtually every day of my life. The one I've trampled grooves into with my footsteps. In the dark, under the methane lamps, back to Nana's. She has dinner on the stove. Nana's famous, infamous, rather, pork dumplings. That I would testify in a court of law actually do stick to your ribs, but not in a good way. I guess they're better than prepper pots. Those freeze-dried food bags for the apocalypse I see on TV with the tagline, "Let's hope you never have to eat it." In any case, we're lucky to even have food on the table, so I say a silent thanks. I sneak into the tiny corner of our bedroom, behind the New York Jets blanket, my little 2-foot by 3-foot sanctuary, the only space in the world I can truly call my own. I pull out the You're Going to Mars poster and tack it to the wall, next to the other three, above my pile of ratty old astronomy textbooks, laptop, and my telescope. 4 Zach Larsons now point out at me. Oh, well, it was a good fantasy. I sigh dramatically. It feels good to do that sometimes, and take out my box cutter, hesitating, reaching up to cut them all to pieces. Paper, dinner's on. Get it before it gets cold. I rush back to the dining room table, because the only thing worse than Nana's infamous pork dumplings are Nana's infamous cold pork dumplings, and immediately notice the mistake. Nana, you set a place for rock again. Nana gives me her sly look that only my 97-year-old grandmother can, and Rock peeks her head out from behind the refrigerator. Surprise! Oh, Rock! Rock! Rock, you're home! I run up and squeeze the life out of her. Whoa, whoa! She pulls away and points to her growing belly. Don't crush the merchandise. Don't you want to be an aunt? Sorry, I can't help it. It's just so good to see you. It's been 6 months since I've seen Rock, the oldest of the three Faris sisters, by 7 minutes. She found a mate, Dill, applied for the proper permits, and the Wasteway Corporation allowed their union, on the condition that Dill would continue to work at the refinery. The refinery is on the very opposite end of the city, underground, and intra-city transport cabs are only approved at the stingy whim of the dispatchers. Rock, how did you... I told them Nana was on her deathbed. The springs on the screen door squeak at that moment, announcing Dad's arrival.
I heard that. Mom, these kids trying to kill you off again.
He waltzes over and hugs Rock.
Nice to see you, love. You know Nana's immortal, right?
Tosses a half stick of butter to Nana.
It's a special occasion.
Then he grins at Rock and points his chin at me.
Have you told Paper the real reason you're here?
Rock shakes her head and a corner of her lip curls.
Something's up.
I don't like when something's up. I give her my best penetrating stare, but she looks away and scratches her cheek. That's her tell. Yes, something's up. Then Scissors barges into the trailer behind Dad.
Hey, Dad, thanks for waiting for me. Oh, hey, Rock. Wow, you got fat.
It's not fat, you idiot. But Scissors is already putting her dirty hands all over Rock's belly, whispering sweet nothings to the baby inside. Then she takes a whiff of the kitchen air.
Do I smell pork dumplings, or is somebody burning a tire out back?
Dad's not the firmest dad. Actually, the polar opposite. A pushover for his girls. But he states, with all the authority he can muster,
yes, it's pork dumplings, and they smell as delicious as always. Don't they, girls? Don't they?
Yes, Father. Nana smiles at our sing-song chorus. Not because she believes us. I think she just likes to know we're not spoiled. Not that anyone in Phil City can afford to be spoiled. And that we'll eat what's put in front of us. Period. Except egg salad. But that's a story for another time. We wash our hands and eat. Dad, we were processing this armoire today, and it kind of broke, splintered into quite a few pieces, actually. I'm shocked. I smack his arm. And Bradline docked me for a full day. How unfair is that? Dad raises an eyebrow.
You're lucky. Back in my day, we'd get docked for a week if we broke something like that.
Nana harumphs. A week? That's a luxury. Back in my day, we'd get docked a month, and the lifts only worked 2 days a week.
Rock grins and nods. The game is on.
You had lifts? We had to hump armoires uphill with our bare hands.
In the snow.
My turn. You had snow? Huh, I wish. Back in my day, we had to walk across shards of glass barefoot, and we prayed for snow to heal our bloody feet.
Scissors squeals.
You had feet?
It goes on and on like this. My favorite Forrest Family game. Back in my day. Until eventually, every time, it gets to something like, you had water? Back in my day, we had to suck the moisture out of each other's bad breath for a droplet of water. Still, we considered ourselves lucky. And the game always ends when we're all howling with laughter, bent over from the pain in our guts, unable to think of anything worse. When we finally settle down and Nana moseys back into the kitchen to get dessert, I notice she looks a little more frail. At 97, degrees of frailness become very fine. But still, something's different.
Psst, Dad! Is Nana okay?
Those eyes twinkle for a second. Dad's got a tell, too. But he shuts them tight before I can confirm.
Work.
Work? Nana doesn't work anymore. She stopped when she turned 80. That was like a million years ago.
She had one last hunt. It was a doozy, too.
What are you talking about?
Let her tell you.
Nana shuffles back to the dinner table with a candle and a little box. She lights the candle, and strangely on cue, Dad dims the rest of the lights, and we sit, hushed. Other than the seashell wind chime in the yard, absolute silence.
Nana, are we having a séance or something? Are we trying to talk to Pop-Pop again?
She pretends not to hear me. Looks around at the three other people at the table, nods to them, and begins.
Paper Forest.
I decide to go along with this, for the moment, for Nana's sake. I don't want to disrespect her if she's finally succumbing to dementia. But my senses are telling me this is another in a long history of jokes, and if so, the whole bunch of them will be woefully sorry.
Yes, that is my name.
And you have studied astronomy and physics since you were a wee little girl.
Yes, I have. Is there a portable black hole in the box?
I don't know what that means. And when you were that little girl, did you not pretend to be from Mars and even wear a homemade shirt that said, "My real home is Mars"?
I roll my eyes. God, you remember everything. I'm only 97, of course I remember everything.
And is it true that you are the first filler ever to build a rocket from computer parts, develop your own methane-based propellant, and launch and land said rocket successfully?
The first two parts are true. The landings,
no matter. And have you said, Paper, on many an occasion, that space exploration is the only dream worth pursuing?
Scissors snickers.
Objection, Nana. You're leading the witness.
Dad raps his glass of bourbon twice on the table as a gavel.
Overruled. Answer the question, Paper Forrest. The jury is waiting.
Yes, it is my dream. Just a dream. To leave Phil City One in my dust and reach for the stars. Or it was a dream anyway, until today.
Are we done?
But Nana's just getting started. With a flourish, she wiggles her flabby arms across the little box, as if performing a spectacular illusion, though her glasses fall off in the middle of the maneuver, sending Rock and Scissors into a fit of giggles,
Then she pushes the box towards me. Open. All eyes are on me and the little box. I have no idea what's inside, but it must be important because my fingers begin trembling as I slowly lifted the lid. And there it is. The red scarab.